of this guy. Let's go around. We're thankful to be here tonight.
Amen.
See a good turnout. Glad to see Rachel again. Haven't seen her in a long time and meet her husband. When we were pastoring down to Granite, she'd come in every once in a while. And we're thankful for that. Glad to see the newlyweds here. I noticed when they got out, he went around, opened the door for her, and I said, "You can tell they're newlyweds." Mm-hmm. That'll wear off. I mean, you know. You be quiet back there, Mom. She's like, yes. I have some pass-out sheets. Would you take one of these and pass out, please? One for all the adults, if you would, please. I'm sure there's enough there. When I what? Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Okie doke. Am I about right there, Brother Rusty? Okay. Okay. We're appreciative of each one of you that's here. Thankful for God. Above all other things. And then we're glad to see a new little Church of God are over there. Isn't that something? That's one thing about the Church of God. They always have newborn babies around, seems like. Just a lot of them, you know. Thank the Lord. I love children. As I said, you can probably tell that we had seven of them, you know. But we're thankful for God and His goodness. Thank you, Brother Robert. I'll just leave them lay there, and maybe somebody will take some with you or something. Our goal in these meetings, and we do have a goal. We do have a goal. Is to establish a functioning Church of God congregation to serve Lenore. Now somebody said, you're church robbers. No, we're grave robbers. Somebody said, what? We're grave robbers. That's what we are. People are dead in sin. We want to see them resurrected.
Amen.
Then there's other people that's in a dysfunctional system of religion that's really not getting fed, and we want to get them help too. But as far as being church robbers, that we are not. Just put out the Word of God and let it rest right there. Yes, sir. The Bible tells us that when we're in sin, we're dead. We're dead. And as a dead person, you don't feel much and you don't, you know, and so forth and so on. But we need to establish, and what I want to do tonight, and this is what God has laid on our heart, we need to, and I can only barely begin. I want to establish tonight, if I might please, just what the Church of God is. It's not something we're going to build. It's not something we're going to create. It's already been done. All we are is salesmen. Salesmen and saleswomen. Amen. That's all we are, beyond the shadow of any doubt. I passed these sheets to you because there are eight passages of Scripture in the New Testament where the phrase Church of God appears. The phrase, Church of God. Brother Robert, you make her bad and she's standing in a corner. I'm declaring. She what?
She's in time out.
Oh, I see. Man, this marriage is not going like it should, sister. You need some counseling, you know. He does, yeah, he does. Right, okay. I wouldn't say I tried to get even. I'm just am, you know what I mean? You go through life and can't have a little fun, you better quit.
Amen.
You've missed it someplace along the line. Because I found out that being a Christian is one of the happiest things you can do on earth. The happiest.
Yeah.
We have joy. You know? We have joy. Some people have fun. You know what they do? They go out and have fun. They go out and have fun. And then they go to bed at night, and next morning they wake up with a big head and a bad conscience and so forth. But thank God, we as children of God, we enjoy ourselves. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah. We're going to take off here in a minute. I can see that right now. Okay. Now I want to say again, it's this Church of God thing. It's not something we're going to create nor something we're going to build. Blast off. Here we go. Okay. I can feel it. These eight passages of Scripture are the ones that appear in the New Testament with the phrase Church of God in it. Now, you'll notice that every time that phrase appears, Church of God, it's with a little C. Not a capital C. Somebody said, why isn't it? Because it's not something, it's not an authority for a denomination. Not authority for a system of religion. It's not some kind of authority of some kind for a lot of things. But it is a phrase that describes ownership or a relationship. Isn't that good? I thank the Lord for that. I'm glad that this phrase lets people know who we belong to and what our relationship is. Somebody said, oh, no. Well, we go through life with those same things. Now, come on, isn't this not right? Sure it is. Sure it is. When we talk about the church of God, what do we mean? It belongs to God. It's His.
Yes.
We'll see in here that it was purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. And we are delivered, thank God, from all the things that hold us in bondage while we're here on this earth. I praise God for that. I joined a church one time. But I was not saved. I had no salvation whatsoever. I had no deliverance from sin. I was still in all of my sin and things and ungodliness until I got saved, until I found Christ. And then when I got saved, I got delivered. This is the way it is. Now let me make this very clear. The Church of God, per se, cannot save you. The Church of God cannot deliver you. But if it's really the Church of God, they can preach to you a message that will show you how to get delivered and how to get saved. Huh? See? Now, we sometimes, if we're not careful, we glory more. And I want to say this, and if it singes hide, fine. Now, you know, that's me. But sometimes we glory more in the church than we do Christ. And we can brag more on the church than we do Jesus Christ. This church is something that Christ built. He gave Himself for it, if you please. So we need to put the glory where it belongs. Not on us as an individual, not on the Church of God, but on the fact that that Church of God is the results of what Jesus did for us. Isn't that wonderful? I thank God for that. I want to tell you right now, there was a time when I didn't have salvation. All I had was nothing. I had a little religion, but I didn't have any salvation. Now, there's two passages that I want you to look at with me here, if you will, please. The number one is 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. Let's read that one together off of this sheet. See, that saves you shuffling through your Bible and me the same. See, I thank God for computers, brother, and word processing. And a little program called, what is that? Something. Beg pardon? Oh, I know about that. Yes, I know that. This is, I got it anyway. It's on the computer. Can't even think of it. That's terrible. But anyway. That's right. It's in the computer. It's in the computer at home, brother. Mike. Under 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, under the church of God, which is at Corinth. Now listen carefully. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. All right, number one, the church of God is composed of people who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, not ain'ts, saints. Amen. Called to be saints. With all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Then drop down in that list of scriptures to 2 Corinthians 1 and 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. So we have two passages of Scripture here that begins to tell us a little bit about what the Church of God is. It's addressed to the saints. Somebody said, Brother Wilson, there's no saints around anymore. Oh, is that so? Well, if there's no saints around anymore, there's no Church of God then. Because that's what the Church of God's composed of, is saints. Saints of God. People, thank God, who've been delivered from sin, been delivered from the habits of life, been delivered from the foul tongue, been delivered from the mind of evil thoughts and ungodly things, been delivered from the power that the devil has over us. That's the church of the living God. Now, you can't join it. You can't join it any more than you could join our family. I've used it God knows how many times down through the years. I've told people, if you come knocking on my door and say, Brother Wilson, we'd like to join your family, I was going to say, sorry, you're too late. All my kids have been born in. Every last one of them was born in. And you cannot join the body of Christ. You can't do it. Much as you might want to, you can't join the body of Christ. Thank God you're born into it. Now, if we've been born again, then we've been born into something. Isn't that great? It's not. We don't have to have a space engineer's degree, you know, and all kind of this and that and the other to understand these things. These passages of Scripture were written to common people. And that's us. That's we-ins. We're common folks. We're common folks. And it was written so we can understand it. Now, we need to find out just what this word church means. Ah, boy. You start talking about church and somebody says, oh, yeah, that building down there. No. That building is a instrument or a tool that we employ for a purpose. We meet there. If we're not meeting in the library, you know. We're looking for a building. It sounds like an old song, I remember. I'm working for a building, a Holy Ghost building. Working for a building, oh, my Lord, my Lord. I got a little bluegrass in me tonight, Brother Robert. You can see that, huh? Yeah. People say, yeah, the church, starting all these things. People have an idea what the church is. Brick and mortar, wood, shingles, plumbing, electricity, and so forth. That's just a convenient place for God's people to come and visit. Now, what is the church? Now, what does this word church, what does it really mean? I'm going to look into, and I have written it off here right out of Thayer's Greek English lexicon. That's another good thing out of this program that I can't remember the name of. Verse something or other. What is that? That's going to bug me. Beg pardon? Quick verse. Thank you. Have you been on my computer? Quick verse. That's what it is. I've used this for years. It's got several translations. It's got commentaries on it. It's got all kinds of things you can print right off on here. Saves us old men some trouble, you know. Let's try to remember all these things. This was first used, if you please. And may I say that this word church comes from a Greek word, ekklesia. Ekklesia, which means ek, out of, kleos, which is a calling. So it's a calling out of. We're not really in the church until we've been called out of something. Whew. Somebody said, well, what if you went through life and never joined a church? You still got to be called out of sin. You have to be called out of sin. Have to be. Listen, this word was used by the Greeks to describe a body of citizens gathered to discuss the affairs of state. Now I want to read two or three places here in the book of Acts, if you'll turn there with me. If you won't, I'll turn there and read it to you. Acts, the 19th chapter. I'm going to read about three verses where the word appears. The same Greek word that the word church is translated from. Read with me, please. Acts 19, 32. And it says this. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not wherefore they were come together. Well, somebody said that the word church is not even in there. Yeah, but the word assembly is. And that's exactly the same Greek word. The same Greek word. Verse 39. Let's look at that. But if ye inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. Same Greek word. Same Greek word. Verse 41. And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. Same Greek word as church comes from. So we could say that what this is talking about, now watch out now, hold on to your seats. When it says Church of God, you could say Assembly of God. Somebody said, but, I know what you're saying. That don't mean anything. It doesn't change the fact of the matter. It is the Assembly of God. Now somebody said, God come to be assembled? Well, let's just keep looking at it here. Thayer's Greek-English lexicon says this, in a Christian sense, an assembly of Christians gathered for worship in a religious meeting. That's what we are tonight. That's what we're here for. A company of Christians or of those who, hoping for eternal salvation through Jesus Christ, observe their own religious rites, holding their religious meetings, and manage their own affairs according to regulations prescribed for the body for order's sake. Thirdly, those who anywhere, listen to this carefully, those who anywhere in a city, village, constitute such a company and are united in one body. Not scattered all over the place, but united in one body. United in one body. Another one, another definition. The whole body of Christians scattered throughout the earth. So we have it in a local, visible sense, and then we have this term used as all the Christians everywhere in the world. Hey, you know what? We got multitudes of brothers and sisters we don't know anything about, never have seen. When we get to glory, we're going to get to see them. Amen. Somebody say, how we know them? Same Spirit, same Christ, same blood, same God. Isn't that wonderful? We might not all see the Scriptures exactly alike. Somebody said, oh my, how can you say that? I can say that from 50 years experience in the Church of God. That's how I can say that. Because even Church of God people don't see things alike sometimes. Well, somebody said, which one's right? They might both be wrong. Who knows? Amen. For years we preached some things, second work of grace and this and that and the other, and God help us. And God had to give us a kick in the seat of the pants. Amen. And open up our mind and get us to see some things and get straightened out on some things. And you know what? If we would open our hearts, today, I believe God would show us more truth than what we even have now. But we're so busy sometimes, and you're not going to like some of the things I say tonight, but I'm used to that. We are so busy most of the time hanging tenaciously on to what we believe and what we say we know and fighting for that we don't open up our minds so God can speak to us. You have to have an open mind. Now, you know what, folks? I learned that several years ago. I'll tell you what, I learned it hard. God had to deal with me. To have an open mind, to be able to accept some things differently than what had always been taught and believed. Amen. He'll do that with you too if you'll let Him. I preached a message one time. I don't know whether I preached that when you were still going over there or not, Brother Preston. Cookie cutter Christians. Somebody said, what do you mean? Would you ever watch your mother or your wife with a cookie cutter roll out the dough? Boom, boom, boom. They all come out looking just alike. Huh? No individuality. Is that right? No room for different personalities? Now, in the Church of the Living God, we have different personalities. Believe me, we got some. We have different personalities around. We have different this and different that. But to be a cookie-cutter Christian, you know, just stomp it out in that thin dough laid out there and press it. They all come out just looking alike. Somebody winds you up every morning. Here we go, you know. No, I'm not crazy. You're just looking at me that way. I know what I'm talking about. I've had experience in this thing. Too many people want God to wind them up every morning so they can, you know, no individuality, no personality. Amen. But we're different individuals. That's why sometimes some straining times come and some hard places because of different personalities. Amen. We don't have to have a different spirit. We don't have to be in sin. We can just have a different personality. and we kind of look at things differently sometimes. And we come out of a different era. Wife and I come out of a totally different era than what we're living in today. And a lot of things we see people doing today, what the world is, what is, you know? We think, what's going on? What's going on? Yeah, we've been around a while. And so, we're still Church of God. Amen. I don't close my mind to anything that the Church of God wants to try as long as it's within the confines of holiness. As long as it's not sin, fire away. I said, you're too open-minded. Can you be too open-minded in one sense? I know you could in one sense maybe, but stick with me a little bit here tonight, will you please? This is an assembly. This is an assembly. We have assembled ourselves. We have assembled ourselves right here. So the church is an assembly. You are still alive out there tonight? Okay. All right. Okay. The church is an assembly, if you please. So I'm just trying to make this as simple as possible. And I won't even begin to scratch everything that I had a hard time. I worked all day on this, trying to get the mind of God as to know. I knew what I wanted to do, what God wanted me to do, I should say. But, you know, get that down. The longer you study sometimes, the longer the message gets. Well, I've studied for 14 hours and... Oh, no, never mind. Sister Marcy, we'll get you out of here. They got a date tonight, she said, and she wanted to know if that bride's going to get them out here, you know. You'll learn not to tell me things. A lot of translations use the term Assembly of God. And they're not doing any injustice to that phrase. In Matthew 16 and 18, would you read there with me please now? Matthew 16 and 18. Most of you people have probably heard these truths over and over and over, and I've preached them to some of you over and over and over. But to others, maybe they're new, different. Just take a hold of them and digest them. Matthew 16 and 18. What does it say to us here? And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now sometimes we read through these things and we fail to pick out some necessary things. Jesus said, I will build. I will build my church. That's what Jesus said. Look at that baby. The only innocent one in here. Isn't that something? Bless its heart. Take a lesson from that right there, would you please? Somebody said, why? That baby's not hung up on its hang-ups. It don't major in minors. It's dependent upon mama and daddy. Shouldn't we be? Shouldn't we be? Well, somebody said, Mama, who's Mama? The church. And Daddy, our Heavenly Father. Amen. Jesus said, I will build my church or assembly. We need to find from what or with or whom this assembly is built. What kind of material does Christ use to build His church? Yeah. They dead ones, I can tell you that, sister. Amen. Well, let me say right off the bat, He don't build His church out of sinful people. He don't build His church out of people that's fastened with the habits of life. He does not build His church with people that's got a filthy tongue, a dirty mind. Hello. He doesn't build it out of people who have no time for God or church. But what does He build it out of? Well, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, and some of you know exactly what that says. Some of you know exactly what that says. Acts 2 and 47. It said, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord... Now, you know, these verses are small, but if we just stop, you know, we learn these and we rattle them off, and we just miss what's in them. What's actually say? Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church. Who did? the Lord. Acts 2 and 47. The Lord added to the church daily. Who does He add? Such as should be saved. The only people in this saved people. No sinners in it. Now, would you tell me how a preacher out here can know who's a saved, who's a saint, who's a sinner? I mean, in the ultimate sense, they can't. Somebody said, "Well, Brother Wilson, they can tell by their fruits." Yeah, well, some people can fool you. There's some people ought to be in Hollywood. Yeah, they should. They're the greatest actors you ever seen in your life. They can put on the all. Oh, yeah, they can speak Christianese. Yeah, they learn. They stay around the church long enough. They learn how to talk like a Christian, and they learn how to act like a Christian. Don't you know? And all the time, they're not right with God. I remember one time. I think it was in the state of Pennsylvania. I've been to, I guess, about 24, 25 states preaching. I believe it was in the state of Pennsylvania. I was preaching away, and the altar call come, and a dear old sister, the pastor just about passed out in the floor. He just about fainted. Bless his dear heart. He couldn't get over it. This dear old sister that's supposed to have been saved for a long time, here she come up and said she just was not right with God. She wanted to get saved. And he couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. But she saw her need, and she found her need taken care of at the altar. And it just shows you that we can't know. We can look on people. Amen. We can look on people. And you know what? People can have, we say, well, we can discern the Spirit. Well, I want to tell you, we can do that to a certain degree, but people can have different personalities, as I said before. Now, come on. That just don't mesh with ours, you know. And in the ultimate sense, only God knows who's saved and who isn't. And therefore, the church book has to be handled by God Himself. It can't be handled by us. It can't be handled by us. So there's two truths we see here. The Lord adds to the church. Thank God. I'm glad you don't have to wait and get up in front of the preacher. Well, welcome to the church. Welcome to the church. Welcome. Yeah, I hear you. I did that one time. They sprinkled a little water on my head, I think. By best I remember. I can't remember something they done to me. Anyway, I had the works, whatever it was. But I wasn't saved when they got through with me. I lived across the street from the pastor of that church I was going to. I have some inside information. He kept beer in his refrigerator. Yeah. He even ventured to tell me as a young boy some shady stories. I never heard anything about salvation. He never preached his right. Got up and gave us current events and so forth and so on. Somebody said, you shouldn't talk about it. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about somebody's long time dead. I'm talking about facts. But it's multiplied across this land of ours yet today. Only it's worse than it was then. It's multiplied. So in Acts 20 and 28, would you look there with me? And oh, you say, I know what that scripture says. Well, let's see what it says. Acts 20 and 28. Here it goes. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Truth number one. All of God's ministers are called by God and placed by the Holy Spirit in the body as it pleases Him. Not by some synod someplace. Not by some organization. Not by some headquarters. But God does it. Now listen, to feed the church of God. Well, the church of God needs to eat. Now, I got news for you. I know enough about the church of God. We're an eating people. We like to eat. Don't we, Preston? Oh, yeah. We like to eat. But that's not what it's talking about here. Somebody said, is it a sin to eat? Well, if it is, I'm a sinner. And it's showing on me, you know. To feed the church of God. which he hath purchased with his own blood. Thank God, there it is. Listen, the church of God is purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. Purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't work your way into this thing. You don't buy your way into it. None of these things. You're purchased. The church needs fed and the church has been blood bought. Christ paid the price for all men. But not all men have received Him. Do you know that every sinner in this county, in this state, in this nation, in this world, has been blood bought by Jesus Christ? But they need to hear the message. And they need to receive it. You see, knowing as we do that He has purchased them doesn't do them any good until they accept it themselves. This is a personal thing. I can't get saved for you. You can't get saved for me. I can't confess for you. You can't confess for me. It just doesn't work that way. It's not physical food that the church needs. 1 Corinthians, if you look here with me in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. He's chastising them a little bit here, and he said, 1 Corinthians 11:22, "What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." Now somebody said, "Oh, it's wrong to eat the church." It's not what he was talking about. It's not what he was talking about. Well, I'm not talking about going to eat and get sitting down on the platform behind the pulpit and eating a meal. I'm not talking. But people take this thing to extremes. They take this thing to extremes. There's a logical explanation for this right here, if you just look at it carefully. Don't make the church house or the church of God or the place where the church of God meets. You know, we've done ourselves a disservice by disconnecting that thought there. The church house is where the church of God comes to meet. Amen. Am I overfeeding you tonight or something here? Okay. All right. Just stay with me. Would you look with me for Amos, please? To Amos, the book of Amos. I'm not sure I can find it. It's in there someplace. Beg pardon? All right, wise guy, you read it. Amos 8 and 11, if you will, please. Start there. I'll fix his wagon.
"Behold, the days come, said the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing of the words of the Lord."
Whew. What kind of a famine? Hearing of the words of the Lord. He said that was a famine. I'd like to ask you something. Are we in a famine today? We're in a worldwide famine.
True.
Of what? Hearing the words of the Lord.
Amen.
Somebody said, "How do you know?" Look at the number of people that's serving God. Look at the change it would be in the world if more people would hear the Word of God. You know what? I believe there's people out here, if they heard better, they would do better. I believe if they could hear that there's a release for them, that they'd do better. There's a famine. And boy, you don't have to go to Timbuktu to find the famine. It's right on our doorsteps. It's on our doorsteps. There's people sitting around the church of God don't have any more idea what the church of God is anymore than the man in the moon, so to speak, in some places. Amen. Somebody said, "Now, Brother Wilson, you listen, I know what I'm talking about. Doctrine is not preached." Amen. How are you going to be the church if you don't know the doctrine? Oh, and I want to tell you something. If you wanted to sit under somebody, you should have sat under the pastor we's under, Brother Emerson. He'd skin your hide. Right, Brother Casey? And love you to death when he got down out of there. That pulpit. And I've always tried to pattern my ministry the same way. Now, I'll preach hard, long, and straight to you. But when I get out of the pulpit, I'll treat you just like I loved you, because I do. I have a job to do. I have a calling to fulfill. I didn't ask for this. Believe me, I didn't. But when I answered the call, I told God I would do what He asked me to do. Could we look at a couple more of these eight scriptures, this page here with these on there? Could we look at it, please? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15 and 9. This is Paul. Confession. Honest confession is good for the soul. Well, Paul's confessing here. 1 Corinthians 15, 9. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Galatians 1 and 13, right down the line. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. He persecuted the church of God. Not a building, not mortar and brick, not wood and doors and windows and heating systems and, you know, and all things it takes to make up a church. He persecuted and wasted the church of God. This man was in trouble with God. He was in deep trouble with God. Till God struck him down on the road to Damascus. Opened his eyes. And you begin to see and begin to understand. Let the Scripture answer the identity of that. Now, what's he talking about when he wasted and persecuted the church of God? All right, let's see. What I'm trying to do is give you a practical teaching tonight. Not some head in the clouds thing, but just exactly what is this church of God. Acts chapter 8 and verse 3. Acts 8 and 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Why did he go into the houses? Because they didn't have church buildings like we've got now. The biggest majority of those people back there were poor people. They had no resources. And sometimes I think, when I see some of these glass houses, so forth and so on, that's being built into the name of the Lord, I wonder if we wouldn't be better off if we didn't have as much resources as we got sometimes. Huh? Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That same thing was happening, just in a different context.
Well, sure.
The wealthy ones were coming ahead of time and eating up all the food and getting drunk on the wine and not waiting for their working brothers and their poor brothers. And so by the time they got there for the meal, there was nothing left to eat.
Nothing left for the mice.
And so Paul was telling them, you're persecuting the church of God.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's interesting, and I didn't have time to go into all that, but I'm glad you brought that up. But it's interesting to go into these things, and Paul makes a statement. Why did he make it? What was the situation there, and so forth and so on. If we'll study, this thing will keep you hopping the rest of your life if you dig into it. It'll keep you going the rest of your life. Let's go to Acts chapter 9, would you please? Again, we'll see who he's persecuting. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth, heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? I want to tell you something, folks. When you persecute one of God's people, you're persecuting Christ. You're taking on something when you do that. You're asking for it. You're asking for it. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? The Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and shall be told what you should do, and so forth and so on. He was persecuting the church of God. He was persecuting. He hailed men and women and put them in prison. See? The church of God is not, I want to say it again, the church of God is not mortar and brick and stone and wood. It's human beings. It's people. People that have been redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. People with feelings. People with problems. People with emotions. Huh? People with personalities. Be careful how you treat God's people. Careful how you treat God's people. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And I'm not going to back up and read all the scriptures before it because of the space of time. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Why in the world do you suppose these people were called Christians? Isn't that... That's a hard question, isn't it? Because they were taught Christ. They accepted Christ. They believed in Christ. They lived Christ. And they knew what it was. And they called them Christians. Now, don't think this is a nicey-nicey name they put on them. This is not a name of admiration. This is a slur, a slam. They're Christians. Now, today we live in a society when anything that puts a cross on it's Christian, I guess. Anything that carries a Bible is Christian. Friend, I got news for you. I wonder today, God help us now, will you let me just get right down where we are with the old sheep shears? Any of you ever seen old sheep shears? You know, they had to come down with a handle like that and two blades on it and you squeeze them with your hand. Sheared sheep with them. It gets right down close. Pulls the hair sometimes too, you know. But I wonder if those same people from Antioch would be transported here today, how many of us would they call Christians? There's a challenge for you. Say, Lord, help us. What is this? How many would they call Christians today? Serious thing. Serious thing. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 27, somebody said, you're going to preach a whole Bible to us tonight? No, not all of it. We're trying, but I'll try to get it all in there. Poor old Marcia's getting anxious. She's got a head start out there. You can see that in there.
I know.
I'm just giving her a hard time. Hard time, long distance. Yeah, you. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Who's the body of Christ? The church is. We are. We're the body of Christ, members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, etc., and so forth, and so on. We're setting the body. Who does it? God does. Somebody said, the preacher does. Yeah, the preacher don't. Now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. A beautiful phrase right there to me. Going a little further and driving some more nails in this thing in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Don't anybody get sleepy and go to sleep, or I'll do what Brother Emerson did one time. He was in a place in the head. They were sitting on wooden chairs. And some old brother went to sleep, and man, he got down and just kicked the chair down the aisle. He said, nobody's sleeping when I'm preaching. And I said, my goodness, that's a bad attitude. He woke him up. He woke him up. He was preaching another place one time, and they said, you're just preaching too long. He said, okay, 45 minutes. He preached for 45 minutes in the pulpit, and then he got out of the pulpit. And they all were getting ready to leave. He said, hold it. Said, a new service starting right here, right now. Started preaching to them the rest of the message. I learned some things from him. Well, never mind. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Listen carefully. It's all in here if we'll search it out. And hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. Aren't you glad that the church of God has a living head? A holy head? Can you see a holy head with a sinful body? No. Listen, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Don't try to tell me that the body of Christ has sin in it. Why? Because it has a holy head. You know what? Every once in a while, the heads of these religious institutions die. And they have to replace them. The Pope dies. They have to elect a new and wait for the smoke to go, you know. If you don't get straightened out with God, that's the closest his smoke will ever go to going up. I can tell you that. Amen. Somebody said, now just hold still. It's all right. It's truth. And organizations out here have got heads that die off. They have to get new heads or elect them. But the Church of God has always had the same head. Aren't you glad? Amen. The one I started with years ago is the one that's going to be head when I die. Amen. And when I raise one of these days to haunt people all over again. Oh, me. Fella come back from his mother-in-law's funeral, smiling, and the guy said, well, what in the world? What are you smiling about? He said, well, we just buried my mother-in-law. Said, we buried her face down. He said, what? He said, yeah, we buried her face down because she said she was going to come back and haunt me. He said, you'll have a hard time doing that now. Oh, well, never mind. He wanted to have a head start on her, I guess, huh? Such faith will get it. She'll be there in a minute. If her food poisoning's wore off, bless your heart. Huh? Well, that's something I've never had. I don't think I want it from the accounts. So what do we got? How far reaching is this call to separate? Stick with me just a little bit longer, won't you? I know you will. If you leave, I'm going to call you out. No, I wouldn't do that to you. I'd like to read to you 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verses 14 through 18, and I'd like to read it to you from the New Century Version of the Bible. The New Century Version of the Bible. And you do the best you can with what your translation you've got there. He's writing to them and he said, you are not the same as those who do not believe. So do not join yourselves to them. Good and bad do not belong together. Light and darkness cannot share together. How can Christ and Belial, the devil, have any agreement? What can a believer have together with a non-believer? The temple of God cannot have any agreement with idols, and we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live with them and walk with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Leave those people. Now, he's quoting from Isaiah and from Ezekiel here. Leave those people and be separate, says the Lord. Touch nothing that's unclean, I'll accept you. Now he quotes from 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter. I'll be your father and you'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Good and bad do not belong together. How far does this separation go? You got it right here. An old-time commentator, and I like old-time commentators better than some of these new potatoes. He said this about this passage when it said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. He said, this is a military term. Keep in your own ranks. Do not leave the Christian community to join in that of the heathens. Three cheers for the old commentators. Man. Read that again. He said, this is a military term. Keep in your own ranks. Do not leave the Christian community to join in that of the heathens. Nominal religion out here does not have any safeguards to guard you from being unequally yoked together with sinners right in the same congregation. But I can tell you for a fact, there's no sinners in the Church of God.
Amen.
Glory. Praise the Lord. There's no sinners in the Church of God. Amen. The body of Christ, there's no sinners. One last quotation, if I may, please. Oh, boy, when I read this and I come across this today, I thought, wahoo. An ancient poet spoke these words, and they're still valid today. You can ask yourself, to whom does it apply? Quote, ye who desire to live a godly life, depart. For although all things are lawful at Rome, yet to be godly is unlawful. Whoa. Could I read that again? Ye who desire to live a godly life, depart. For although all things are lawful at Rome, you can see how long ago this was written, yet to be godly is unlawful. Now, if you want to be in the world, they'll let you do just about anything you want to. You can join churches and do anything you want to. But try to be godly. Try to be godly. Try standing up in the midst of a congregation and thank God for delivering you from sin that you don't have to anymore. Let's see how long you last. Yes, ma'am. Oh, you've been called on? Well, we have a celebrity with us here tonight. Well, I could say good for you, sister. Praise the Lord. What I'm saying is that you took a stand. You stood where they didn't want you to stand. I can tell you that, or you wouldn't have been called that. Come on. To be godly is unlawful. Isn't that terrible? Think about this. You want to live right for God. You want to serve Him. You feel the need of being with other Christian people. And then you get in the middle of it and you don't have your liberty to live the life that God has revealed to you. Huh? But I thank God for the freedom there is in the Church of the Living God.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes around a Church of God congregation, you may not find your liberty. But we have it in Christ. We have it in Christ. Aren't you glad? Now, this is just...